going to happen. That's why they sit on the platform, so that doesn't happen. All right, Matthew chapter 28. And just want to somewhat continue with what we were talking about last night and what was just mentioned. I do want to say it again. I really like this place. I like your weather, too. It's good right now. I think snow's coming and things like that. Nicole was saying that she's from our church, Nicole James, and the first time she saw snow was here. So maybe, is anybody else like that? First time? See, that's a South Florida thing. I don't know what that is. But my kids were like that. They never saw snow until they got up north, like, you know, when they were like 15, 16 or something like that. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is in the South. But South Florida never snows. You don't have to worry about snow. But you do have to have air conditioning. You have to have air conditioning. It makes a big difference. So that, like up here, you have to have heat. Down there, you have to have air conditioning. But hey, if you're ever in South Florida, Margate is right next to Fort Lauderdale. All right, it's, you know, connected. And come see us, okay? If you ever come down there, you know, just come down to visit our church. That'd be good. You know, a lot of people go for vacation. I won't put you to work, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I will. I'll do something with you, but if you want to. But we'd love to have you. And we've had some people from Fairhaven come by, and so we're glad of that. All right. I probably will move pretty fast here because I want to tell you a story, and I want to get to that, but that's not the main thing. So you just listen to the Bible here. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse 18, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this just wonderful place, Lord, and the school and the good things happening at Fairhaven College, Baptist College. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless here as you have for many years, 45 years in the church and many years in the school. And Lord, you're doing wonderful things here. Church service was great Sunday morning, and just good things happening there and in the bus ministry, and many of these young people involved for you, Father. So I just pray that you'll strengthen them more for the task. I pray you'll, through this service in chapel right now, you'll encourage all of us, Father, speak to every heart through the Holy Spirit. Every time the Holy Bible is open, it's a time, a wonderful time, when we can learn and we can grow and we can be strengthened and challenged and edified. So I pray, Father, in this chapel service, all of our hearts will be open and that you'll just do a wonderful work. May our ears be open to hear, Father, and may we just obey and may you just do wonderful things. Now, maybe there's some people that are discouraged. Maybe there's some folk that are a little downcast, want to give up. Encourage those folk as well, Lord, and do a wonderful thing now. Do what only you can do and help the preacher as only you can now. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I got some S's here I like to present to you. And, you know, preachers do that. Several S's in the Great Commission is what we commonly know this passage, and probably most of you haven't memorized. I always include verse 18. All right, when you do the Great Commission, I mean, you know, if you have it written down, they say, memorize for a class 19 to 20, that's okay. But verse 18 is very important in the context of the whole Great Commission. And what I like to talk about is the condition of the commission for you. Okay, get it? The condition of the commission in your life. Okay, what is your condition when it comes to the Great Commission? Are you involved with that? Are you obeying? Are you stepping out, as we talked about last night, for God? You know, this is a command. This is from Jesus. I love Jesus. Okay, are you soul winning? Are you a witness? Are you reaching out to others? Do you care? Do you care about? You see, you got to stop like the man that, you know, when Jesus healed him and he had put the mud on his eyes, he saw first the people as trees. I think sometimes we see people as part of the scenery, you know. And then so he had to go back again, right? And then he could see people. And see, people are souls. People are going to spend, it's not a game. It's not just a theology. It's not just some, you know, Baptist teaching. Baptist teaching is good. But it's not just Baptist teaching. This is the truth. There's a hell. And it's just like Jesus said. It's a place of torment. Luke chapter 16. It's a place of fire. But there's a heaven. And that's where God is, and that's where that's a place where God wants everybody to go. He wants everybody to be, and it's real. It's not just religion, and it's the greatest thing in the world. It's the greatest message on earth. The most powerful movement in the world is an old-fashioned independent Baptist church that's obeying the Bible. Are you allowed to say amen? Okay. Most powerful. Okay, I won't give you the merit. The most powerful. Amen. Once you can say it once in a while. Nobody will get in trouble, I hope. The most powerful movement in the world is a local church. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, it's not going to fail. Sometimes we can fail, but God's work, the work of Jesus Christ, will go on. And we just got to get involved. We just got to be part of this. What a great program. It's the work of God. And so we've got to be involved in it. Don't get distracted. Don't get sidelined. And so I want to start with verse 18 there. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and I said it last night, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the word here is sovereignty. I know. Don't be afraid. It's not the Calvinism. It's the real term. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about, but some of you Bibles do, you know, okay, preacher boys and all. Stay away from that Calvinism. But you know what? Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over all. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's over all. And he says, and he wanted us to be encouraged because he knew what we were going to run into. Government, you know, in the book of Acts, the apostles ran right away. They ran into persecution because the government, people, you know, religious and political, they said, no, you know, don't do that. Don't preach in his name. But we ought to obey God rather than men. We've got to obey God rather than men. When it comes to family, you know. Hey, you know, the old-fashioned way is the Bible way. A husband, a wife. The husband is the head of the home. Amen. That's right. He is. And the wife, you know, is supposed to submit to her husband. And I know you learn that here. And in a good church, you'll learn it. And that's good. It's wholesome. It's pure. But all that's under attack. All that's being perverted, and that's what man does when he gets away from God. And so that's the challenge. The people out there, they're not just part of the scenery. They need the truth. And Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's sovereign. He's above every king. He's above every president. He's above every philosophy. And he told us that love him, we that are saved, we that are born again, he said, go. And he's above everything else. And as I said last night, I said that, you know, knocking on doors, that he's told us to go. He told you to go. And his authority and his power is with you, standing behind a pulpit. Some of you, Lord willing, you'll go into the ministry and preach. And, you know, the power of God will be upon you because you have the authority of God. You don't preach. Don't apologize. You know, I apologize for asking you to say amen, but that's nothing. But don't apologize for the truth. Oh, I do that at home, sorry. Don't apologize for the truth. Oh, I just apologized. You know, stand on the truth. Be bold. He's the authority. He's above everything. Because you're going to deal with people who, you know, come in the name of Allah. Yeah, well, I deal with her all the time. Hey, I don't mind. Be bold. Give them the truth. Why is all, you know, in our neighborhoods, you know, in South Florida, Margate, I mean, it's so diverse. I mean, but you know what? They're all coming there. Let's reach them. It's hard to, you know, there's a mosque 3 blocks from our church. They don't like me. But they need to be reached. They need the God. We've led some Muslim ladies to the Lord. And, you know, it's been a little rough on them. It's been very rough on some of them. But God is good. It's the truth. They need the truth. Muhammad can't say, Allah can't save anybody. By the way, Allah is not God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's not Trinity. The Trinity is one of the things that we know when you study God in the Bible that'll show you, you know, the true God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know God. They're all God. And the Godhead. And so Allah doesn't fit in there. And Muhammad, what, I don't know. But they need the truth. They need Jesus is the king. Jesus is sovereign. Listen, be bold. Oh, you can have humility and you ought to. Be, you know, you just lose yourself and let Jesus Christ live through you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you just live for the Lord. You just live for the Lord and let him live through you. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, then nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know all the verses. Yeah, it's not just Paul. It's you. He's Jesus is above all. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So don't back down. Be humble, yes. But in love, speak the truth in love. Go to them. You know, this is, we call it the Great Commission, but it's given by the authority above. He is the sovereign above all. And, you know, one day he's coming back. And it's before the tribulation, by the way. But, you know, I mean the rapture. Before the tribulation, and you know, learn that and all, and learn all those good things. Second coming, but he's coming back, and he's going to show. He's going to show who's the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to show. But you and I know that. You and I already know that. And the sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in his name. He's communicating with us. He's telling us through the Bible. This is how we do it. This is our marching orders. This is how you ought to live. This ought to be a big part of your life. Whether you're a missionary, working in a local church, whatever it is, school teacher, whatever it is, this got to be a big part of your life because the King said it. Your Lord said it. And he's above everything else. He's the sovereign of everything else. He proved it. In his earthly ministry, he showed he had power over nature, right? He stilled the sea. He had power over disease. He healed people with disease. He had power over the demonic realm, the devils, and he cast out the devils, and he showed who he was. He knew what was in man. He had no need that any man should tell him. He knew what was in man. He knows our thoughts afar off. He showed who he was. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. And you just get close to him. And one way to really, really get close to the Lord is just obey what he said. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for the church. It's going to be good for any ministry you're involved in. Because the second S, and I've said it several times already, verse 19 says, go ye. Now that's you. All right? It couldn't be just, they couldn't go into all the world, the apostles, just by themselves. They couldn't do it. So it's for us. It's for believers. Go ye therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore? Wow, I'm doing everything today. What's the therefore? Because he's the king. He's the Lord. Go ye therefore, because he's the blessed and only potentate. You go because the king told you to go, but you got to go. You just go. You gotta go to work, but you know what? You do it there. You stand for the Lord on your job, and God will help you on your job. You glorify. I've had a lot of jobs. If I get to it, I'm going to tell you some prison stuff. I was a correctional officer for 5 years at a maximum security prison. But I was an electrician. I was a janitor. You got to do these things. You got 7 kids. You go to school. You go to school. You better work. You work. Hey, by the way, men, work hard. Amen. Men ought to have some calluses. Amen. I still have calluses. I don't know how to get rid of it. If you don't have any, lifting weights is okay. But I think, go dig a ditch or something. teach young people to be men and women to be women. And it's good. But learn how to work hard. And when you get a job, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, it's a secret. Here's how you get a raise. Go the extra mile. You work on a job. Say, when I was an electrician, and I was not ever the best electrician. And I was never the best correctional officer either. But it's 4:30, time to go home. Yeah, I'm out of here. Everybody's leaving. Hey, stay back and clean up. Those guys are going to go out. I'm going to go have a beer. I want to go home and see my wife and my kids. That's good. That's from God. But you stay back, you clean up, you do it, you make sure everything's safe. And electricity, you can't leave it. It's hot wires around, some kid might touch it or something. You just do all that. Hey, and you'll get a raise. You work hard. You go the extra mile. Guess who taught that? Jesus taught that. Simplicity. You know what the Sermon on the Mount is? Simplicity. You just live a simple life for the Lord. And you grow. And the graces get closer and closer to the Lord. The older you get, the longer you've been saved, the more Christ-like you ought to be. So you got a good start there. That's a good start. Hey, but I'll tell you what. A lot of you are working right now. And you get out there in the work world. You might have to work for years. And maybe you're headed toward the ministry, but you still got to get that job and all that. Hey, you go the extra mile. Listen, it works. And you are dependable. And, because you answer to Jesus. He's your sovereign. He's your Lord. And you know what? You go to that job. You are a testimony for Christ on that job. But you just live for the Lord on that job. And, you look for opportunities to witness. They're going to watch you. They're going to watch. I do all kinds of things. I whistle hymns, whistle Amazing Grace and all that. Then somebody says, isn't that a Christian? What are you doing? A Christian song there. And these big redneck guys, and chewing tobacco. And he's running down their cheek. Dude, that's the dirtiest thing. And they're spitting in the corner. Oh, that's really good. That's manly stuff. One time I was just singing. See, because, do your work. I was on a construction site. So I was, starting new homes from scratch. It was fun. Hard, but fun. And I was kind of whistling and singing a hymn. I don't remember what it was. And somebody said, way up for a higher level, said, somebody's entirely too happy here. So I said, oh, it's me, but you keep working, don't stop working. And he said, I want to see you after work. And I found out it was that big motorcycle guy. And, he said, I want to see you after work. The way he said it didn't sound good. And I was whistling, but it was a little nervous whistle after that. So, I know where, he parked that motor. He was the most ornery guy on the job. Everybody was afraid of him. Big person. I don't know why these big people are always after me. But anyway, he comes out. I went to his motorcycle. Don't let them see you shaking. But I went to the motorcycle and waited there. And he comes, you know, he has his bandana on and all, you know, motorcycle jacket and all that kind of stuff. He's a big person. And I decided to hand him a track. I didn't look nervous, but I was confident, you know. And he said, "You know what? I want to tell you something." He said, "My grandmother was a Christian. She was always telling me I needed to be saved." And tears. Really, this is real. It really happened. And I'm standing there, whoa, I thought he was going to punch me in the nose. You know, he said, my grandmother was a Christian. And she always telling me I needed to be saved. He said, "I think I need to be saved." And I said, "Well, here, read this." He was getting on his motorcycle as he was saying this. And "Here, read this." And he took off. You know, and I'm like, wow, you know, I thought I was going to die. But, you know, I was able to give him the gospel later on after that. And we kind of became friends. He didn't get saved. He didn't get saved that I know of. Maybe later on he did. And you never know, you know, what'll happen there. But, hey, be bold on the job. But you know what? Have a testimony. You're sent by authority. You know, there was persecution back in the book of Acts for reasons. I mean, they stood up for the Lord. Just stand up for the Lord. Do it the right way. You can. You can do it. And don't cower. Don't back down. Stand, because you're sent by Jesus. You're sent by Jesus, and people are in need everywhere. And there's false teaching. There's false gospel. And you have the truth. So whatever that job is, whatever you're, you know, stand up for the Lord. You don't have to be a big mouth. Sometimes I am. But you don't have to be a big mouth. You just do it the right way. You know, give them the gospel. Go ye therefore. Number three here is salvation. Is salvation. So what I'm trying to say here is you can't have somebody else under the authority of Jesus unless you first are. Okay? And you can't reach somebody unless you're reaching out, unless you're going. You can't reach anybody. And now sometimes somebody will come to you, and that's great. You know, they say, "Oh, I see you're a Christian." And by the way, your life really, really matters. You know, so you're knocking on doors, they don't know your life, they don't know anything about you, they never saw you before, and you give them the gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation. But I tell you, when somebody gets saved, they watch you. And your life does matter a whole lot. Now, if you're working around unsaved people, they're watching you, but you lead somebody to the Lord, yeah, that's why you ought to show them. You're at every service. You're bringing them. You want to bring them to church. And congratulations on for the church for 45 years. That's great. You know, see if you can bring somebody out. Work on that. That's a good thing. And you know what? They watch you. They watch you. You know, how's a Christian respond? You know how relatives do that too, unsaved relatives. How's a Christian respond to these things? What's a Christian going to do? They watch you. And they learn from you. They're going to learn from preaching. They're going to learn from the Bible. But they're watching your life. And they want to see what a Christian does. See, you're sent by Jesus. You are on a mission. Whether you know it or not, and I think most of you know it. You are on a mission. And so somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Your job in church. You know, so, hey, smile. You know, smile more. You know, you know, if you walk around with a smile all the time, they might think you're a little loony, but you ought to smile, especially in church. You know what encourages the pastor? And I didn't ask the pastor, but I know. You know, people, they're paying attention. You know, you don't have to be all saying amen and all that, but I like it, but you don't have to do it. But, you know, you can read people. Yeah, and, you know, paying attention, They're following along, you know. Maybe you digressed, but they still are following you along with it, you know, and all that. That encourages the preacher. Don't you want to encourage your pastor? You be in your place. You know, you usually sit there, right? And so the pastor says, "He's not there." Now, I know in college you got to be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be. I know that. But, you know, when you're, you know, just this church and nobody's requiring it, the pastor says, "Hey, the seat's empty. I wonder what happened. I wonder what's wrong." You know, maybe give them a call or something like that. But you know what? When you're in your place, that encourages the work of God. You know what? And do that. And pay attention. Smile. You know, and because other people will be looking at you. What's this all about being a Christian? Are they just somber? You know, are they just sad people? I'm a very serious person. That's why you got to be around kids. Little kids are the funniest thing in the world. They're, you know, some of them are, you see why they believe in evolution. And they're like, what? But, sorry about that. I apologize like three times already. But being around, isn't that simple things? I like being around, now I have grandkids. That's the best. I mean, you just give them back when they get ornery. You know, diapers? Yeah, no diapers. Mommy's coming. She just, that's great. You know, by the way, I don't want to, I better hurry. I never understood these guys. I did change diapers. I had seven kids, and they were all kind of close together sometimes. And a lot of them wearing diapers at the same time. My wife had a lot to do. I don't think it's unmanly to change a diaper once in a while. You see these guys cleaning up after their dog? You know, I always wonder what the dog thinks. But in our neighborhood, it's against the law. You can't let them leave anything there. You got to clean it up, you know. But you won't change a diaper. I never could figure that out. But anyway, and so the next S we have, you're sent. So have a testimony. The next S is salvation, teaching them to observe all things. You give them, you teach, you know when you go to a door and you say, hey, by the way, learn how to draw in the net. It's good. You'll lead somebody to Christ. You do that. I know a lot of guys, and I did it for years. I mean, man, I'm giving them the God. Do you want to be saved? Well, I guess you're not. I don't think you want to get saved. Yeah, probably, you know. You didn't listen good enough. You know, I was kind of talking them out of it. Hey, no, draw in the net. Ask them. You know, you just went through the whole thing. And you know, I'm against the easy believism for sure. And what I do is I always go over it again. Did you understand? Oh, yeah, I understand. Well, I'm going over it again anyway. You go over the whole thing again, and you see, you know, you read their face and all that. Do you want to receive, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10? Do you want to call upon the Lord? Do you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Give them the opportunity. Yes. And draw in the net. And it works. You'd go thoroughly through the gospel, and I say, don't skimp on anything. But if they know they're a sinner, they're lost, they're on the way to hell, they can't save themselves, you giving them the scripture, hey, give them opportunity to get saved. And you'll see more people get saved, you really will. But you know what? Well, obviously, if you're not saved, you can't get anybody else saved. But if you're not secure in your salvation, you know, you're not, in our Christian school, we were taking young people from other schools, and there was other churches, and there was a church that taught a little bit different about, you know, I don't know, some of these kids got saved 8 times, 10 times, but they never served the Lord, got saved, you know, this time they got saved for real. I mean, that can happen, but I always noticed that these folks that just, you know, are not secure in their salvation, they're not going to serve the Lord. They're always looking at themselves and, you know, well, you know, and then they make excuses for living worldly and all that kind of thing. Well, I wasn't really saved, but I'll get really saved this time. Now, that can happen, I know. But, you know, sometimes it's just an excuse. Hey, if, you know, you're saved, get that settled and serve the Lord. Just serve the Lord. You know, but if you're always like, you know, get it settled. Be secure. And then you'll serve the Lord, and you'll be able to go to people and tell them, you know, this is how you get saved. Yeah, and, you know, it's the best thing in the world, but don't fool people. I mean, they're going to have an enemy. It's going to be the devil if they get saved. I tell people that. You know, when they get saved, you just made an enemy. You know, I tell the devil. Yeah, he doesn't want to lose any of his folk. And, I love being a Christian. It's the greatest. I wouldn't be anything else, of course. But, let them know. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be things. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And teach them from the get, teaching them to observe all things, he says. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. And later on, you teach them after they get saved. You teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you right here. You get them seated. You get them settled. How do you do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. The Holy. Hey, we call it discipleship, whatever you want to call it. You get them to church. I was talking to several people about this. One of the hardest things to do is get people to church, even after they get saved. It's a lot of work. Hey, try to get them baptized. Teach them about baptism right away. Try to get them baptized. You see, you get them in the church. On the day of Pentecost, they that believed, they were baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto who? Added unto the church. You get saved, you get baptized. Hey, the Great Commission doesn't stop with soul winning. That's tremendous. You know, and the angels of heaven are rejoicing in the presence of God. Rejoicing in the presence of God of one sinner that repents. But you know what? You got to get them in a church where they can grow, where they get baptized and they become a member of the church and they understand what baptism is. And ordinarily I would go over all through the book of Acts, all the folk that, by the way, there's a big movement on baptismal regeneration. And you better understand baptism doesn't save anybody. And you better know how to deal with it. And you also got to know that on the day of Pentecost, they got saved first, and then they got baptized. Cornelius got saved first, then he got baptized. Lydia got saved first, and then she got baptized. And you know that, I know, and I can keep going with that. But know what you believe, and stand for what you believe, and disciple somebody. Get them to church. Get them baptized. Help them to grow. And help somebody else that way. And that's how a church grows. That's how things go forward for the Lord. Get them settled. Get them settled in the things of God. Get them settled for the Lord. It doesn't just stop there. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Again, that's the authority of God, the Trinity. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things. Always give room for people to grow. You lead somebody to the Lord, they're not going to be, where you're at. You got to understand that. Maybe they don't dress real good. It's going to take a little bit of time. That's why you got to disciple them. They watch your life. But they see, I should dress more modestly, a girl would say. And a guy would see, how he ought to be and how he ought to act, and he'll grow in the grace and knowledge. You have to. And hey, by the way, you never stop growing. I need to grow. I'm still growing. I want to keep growing. I want to keep going. When I stop, I'm backslidden. Keep growing for the Lord, but leave room. If somebody comes in church, I remember when I got saved, I went in church and my hair was real long. I would call it sissy hair now, but I didn't back then. My hair was real long, and I didn't own a tie. I didn't own nice shoes. Maybe some of you are like that. I went into church, and they were nice to me. Old-fashioned Baptist church. I didn't look like the rest of them. And I had old jeans on with patches and peace signs. And it was 1974. And I went in there, a hippie movement and all that kind of thing. I had just gotten saved, walked in that church, and Mr. Fisher, he came up to me and shook my hand so hard it hurt. But he never forgot my name, and he smiled all the time. There were some people in the church that were like, "Hoof." I called them the "Hoof" people. But there were some of them, but I wanted to be like Mr. Fisher. He was happy. His face was glowing. It's like, and he was a happy, happy Christian. And there was a lot of people in this, and that I said, I want to be like them. I want to be like those Christians. And then somebody told me to get a haircut. And I didn't think they were mean because they loved me. They cared about me. And I noticed that the pastor had short hair and everybody else said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, for Jesus? Sure. You know, and yeah, maybe you ought to dress a little different. Okay, that's my old uniform. That was my old outfit. Got a new outfit. Yeah, and but, you know, they love me. And people, I said smile. Yeah, smile to somebody. Be friendly. Everybody's been so friendly to me here. I feel like people like me. This is nice. I don't know why, you know, but people like me. That's good. People that visit the church, yeah. Or people that are new, you know, let them know you like them coming. You like them. You don't know them too well, but you like them. Get to know their name. If you can. I know this is a big church. But I tell you, people really like that. You know, I'm not real good at names. You know, in fact, a lady was leaving the church the other day, and I stand at the door, shake hands. And I said, all right, is it your first time? Pastor, I've been coming here for 2 months. And I was like, oh. See, your church is big. Maybe that. But I should have known that. I should have recognized. So I got her name. Now I know her name and everything. But so I'm not going to say that anymore. Even if I don't recognize, I'm not going to say that. I'll think of another approach. But, you know, smile, let people know, and get them settled in the church. Listen, all I'm trying to say, you're sent by the most powerful person. He's King, He's Lord. Don't, you know, you may go forth in fear and trembling. Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit of that in a moment. I'll be real quick. But, And you know, sometimes you'll doubt yourself, but don't ever doubt God. And if you keep your eyes on the Lord, that is your strength. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He's going to see you through. The author and the finisher. You're going to go through hard times. He's going to see you through. The author and finisher. He will get you through because he leads the way, and he's your power. He's your strength. You get close to him. And he told you there's others in all nations that need to be reached. As whosoever will, let them come and take of the water of life freely. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. Go ye therefore. I want to tell you this story. When I was a correctional officer, and I told you I had several different jobs, in Philadelphia, there was a man in the prison. Name was Pancho. Big prison. I mean, you know, over 1,000 inmates, 12 or more. It depended. It was very crowded many times, but cell blocks were overcrowded. And it was a nasty place. Maximum security prison, 100-year-old building. And I worked there. And I was a Christian. I was helping start churches, but, you know, the church was not paying me, so I worked. I was helping a pastor get a church started. I was, you know, a deacon or whatever we need. We did that several times. We started 4 churches in the Philadelphia area. I led this way, but I had to get a pretty good job because I had kids. So I took a test. I got the job. I prayed about it. It was from God. But it was in a prison, and it was nasty. It was smelly. It was bad. Murderers. Yeah, just the worst crime. Maximum security. Nasty place. Old place. Roaches. Everything you can think of. The only place I've ever seen roaches bigger than South Florida was at that prison. Big roaches with muscles and everything. But rats. But there was an inmate named Pancho. Now, you see, our church is half black, half white, with a whole bunch of Spanish people sprinkled in, so, you know. They liked me, too, for some reason. I don't know. But Pancho was a big person. He was a mean person. He didn't like me. You know, and I was his correctional officer on my shift. He didn't like the fact that I was a Christian. He liked the fact that I was white. He didn't like my eye color. He called me a blue-eyed devil. I said, how do you even know what color am I? But he followed me around. He was a big, I don't know, 6'6", around the 300-pound mark or something. I feel little around those people. And he followed me around, and he said, he blasphemed Jesus. He blasphemed the Bible. And I couldn't say anything. My time is up. I got to hurry. Because you're not allowed. Like, I can't turn around and punch him. He probably wouldn't feel it anyway. But, I couldn't do that. And I couldn't even write him up. They're allowed to say whatever. It's not what you think. And they're not locked in cells most of the time. They're walking the cell block. And so are you. Two of you. And my partner was not all that dependable. And you have a radio, a walkie-talkie, and keys. That's what you have. And so you better know what you're doing. But every day, there was a lot of rough things about that job, but Poncho was a problem. And not only he would blaspheme the Lord, he wasn't a Muslim. And Muslims, there were a lot of them on the cell blocks. But I just prayed about it every day. I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this guy? I mean, he won't leave me alone. He blasphemes the name of Jesus Christ aloud and openly all the time. I mean, it's demonic. What is going on? I don't know what to do. I hate going in on that cell block. I used to always want to get transferred. But I don't want to run away from this guy. So during count time, they're locked in their cell. During count time, so you got to go and you count. Okay, we go, we count. Make sure nobody escaped. They got to clear the count. But you got about a half an hour where they're locked in the cell. So I went over to Poncho's cell. And his actual bars, the key to open them is like that big. It's like an old-fashioned jail. And I had a Bible. And there's one thing I know how to do, sort of, is preach. I've been trying to preach for a long time, but I preach. So I got my Bible. And I stood in front of his cell. He's sitting on his cot, his bed. And I just started preaching to him, captive audience, can't go anywhere. And I just, my outline was the Romans Road. You go to hell. You need to get saved. Jesus is the only way. And you're a sinner. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. And he's looking at me like, whoa. What? He couldn't get to me. So just kept preaching and preaching. I was sweating and the whole jail, they're all trying to look out and they put their mirrors out. What's going on up there? And I just kept preaching and that's all. I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know what the right technique is. So it was near the end of count time, so I put a track. I used to use the comic book tracks because they read them. Some of those guys don't know how to read. I put it on the cell and I walked away and I was sweating over there. And they're all saying, what's going on with Gorman, C.O. Gorman? And so count time was cleared, and I thought, uh-oh, got to open it up. I let my partner open his cell. He didn't come out. And he didn't. I thought he was going to rip up that track and throw it out. He didn't do that. He never came out of his cell that whole night. And then the next day I come in, and he's got a Bible in his hand. And this is a true story, and it's amazing. He comes up to me. He said, I got saved last night. I said, yeah, right. And I didn't believe him. And he started following me again. So where should I start reading the Bible? Yeah, right. Yeah. And he's got a Bible. I said, well, this is still, he's got a new approach here, but it's still a problem. But finally, I got to cut this short. There's more to it. Finally, I believed him. He really got saved. I didn't lead him to the Lord, but he got saved. And I told him, this is how you get saved. And his life was changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he was different. And it works. It's the greatest thing. It's the most powerful thing in the world. Let's get involved. It'll save a guy like Poncho. Made my job easier, too. But it works. And he became, they have an inner jail ministry, Christian community. He became the head of that. He was transferred out of jail. Real quick, I was working in a Sallyport. Years later, he got transferred out of the jail. A bus comes in, and I hear a voice. I know it was Poncho. Well, he was transferred a couple of years before. And he says, C.O. Gorman. I'm still saved. Well, maybe he didn't understand everything about theology, but he said, I'm still saved, and it's still good. In front of all those ornery inmates, murderers, And I said, God is so good. And working in that nasty place to see one person come to Christ, it was wonderful. And God, it still works. It's good. It's the best thing. Just obey. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And I think I went over my time. God's spoken in your heart today. Do you have an invitation? Yeah. Okay. God's spoken in your heart today. I'm not going to have a raising of hands, and I know I went over my time, but and I think it's what you do here is if you like to get some things settled with the Lord today, you feel free to do that. The piano's going to play at this time. An invitation to him. If you'd like to come out of your seat and come up here to the front just for a few moments, you feel free to do that as the piano plays.